They were at the near the bottom of Gemara Makos Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. We've finished Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Let's just recap. Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that there's really only two cases in which where you have a negative commandment, where there's a positive that can fix it up. He said there's only two possible cases where you actually can get lashed in those kinds of cases.
By the way, there was even yesterday I noticed after the Al-Khitz, there was something about negative and a positive commandment.
Negative commandment, positive commandment, yes. Yes. All kinds of punishments. Anyway, so when you normally, a lav shenitik lasei, you do the assay, you fix it up, you don't get lashed. According to the rabbi Reish Lakish that says kimu v'lo kimu, even though there's a positive mitzvah that can fix up, you can get lashed often because right when you transgress the law, the rabbis right away say fix it up, and if you don't, boom, they lash you right. So you get, many times you get lashed. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds bitl v'lo bitl, you only get lashed if you deliberately made it possible that you can't repair it with the assay. Then you'll get lashed. And he said there's only two cases like that. The case was when you're supposed to send the mother bird away, which if you'd send the mother bird away after taking it, you wouldn't get lashed. But now if you go and slaughter the mother bird, now you've nullified the possibility, you're going to get lashed. That was the second case. And then the other case we said was with the case of the fellow who raped the woman, who has to marry the woman. And there's a possibility he can nullify it. And then we tried many attempts, and we concluded that if he makes the vow with the understanding of the majority of people around him, then you cannot nullify that. And when he makes the vow, she cannot benefit from him, then he can't marry her. So that was the two cases we had. What the Gemara is going to do now for the next while is say, well, you said there's only two cases. Well, apparently, it looks like there will be more than two cases. So the Gemara is going, what the Gemara is going to do is try a few possibilities, see they don't work. Then they come up, yes, there really was a third, which creates a problem because he said there's only two. So that's the direction this is going. So Gemara asks, Vaha Ika, there are more than two examples that you can directly nullify the positive correction and then you should get lashed right away. And they're going to offer you another case. And let's see while you hear the question if you could think of the answer. Okay, how about gezel, theft? Derachmana amar lo sigzel. The Torah says like this, thou shalt not steal. That's a negative commandment. Now on its own, you should get lashed if you steal. But there's a positive commandment that follows which says, veshiv es hagzela. Return the stolen item. We're going to see yet how they're going to come out to the question over here. Okay, so that's a positive one. So that's one mitzvah. So you could return it. And the Gemara is going to suggest you could nullify that. How could you nullify it? Anybody could think of it on their own? Yeah?
Guzlin and Ganef. He doesn't have enough money to pay double for the Ganef.
No, we just sell the guy into slavery and he pays it off. Yeah, it doesn't get
destroys the object.
Boom. Okay. What if, okay, you stole a chair. You stole a chair. Okay, you should get lashed. No, there's an assay. You can fix it up. Return the chair. Well, what if you burn the chair?
Pay the money.
Ah, so just hold on. We've already done the next four lines of the Gemara. Just now, we did the next... Good.
Return the stolen item. Hold on,
Sam. Okay, so you...
The remedy is to return the stolen item. Okay, so hang on.
Anyway, so let's just hold by the question now. Good, we're thinking Talmudically. So that's one case. A second case, mashkon, when you take a pledge, a creditor takes a pledge from the debtor as a collateral. You're allowed to take a collateral. Many different types of collaterals you could take. But what does the Torah say about a collateral? The Torah says, Rachmana Amar lo savo el beso lavot avoto. You are not allowed to enter his house and take a pledge. If you're a creditor, let's say the time is up. You got to pay the debt. Or whatever the situation is. You are entitled to. But the Torah says, you can't go into his house and take something that you want from that. You have Bezdin can do it. You could ask the guy to bring it out. Whatever. There's a lot of scenarios. But you can't invade his home and take the pledge just like that. You can't do that. So let's say you went and took a pledge. No, you should get lashed for it. No, there's a remedy. It says, Hashav Tashiv Lo, you shall surely return to him, Ha'avot, that pledge, Kivah Hashemesh, where the sun sets. Remember, there's certain things, let's say you have to take the guy's pajamas. Pajamas. So what you could do is you could take them in the morning, but then you got to return them at night. That's through Bezdin, through Bezdin. But if you went and took it, you did a negative commandment, so you could fix it up by giving it back. Okay, so again, there's a lot. I don't want to get too complicated here. Let's just keep it simple. You're not supposed to take the pledge out of his house, and if you do, then you have to give it back. So if you don't give it, so that's the remedy. So how can we nullify the remedy? Same thing as by stealing. You destroy it. If you destroy it, you also can't.
Why you destroy your pledge?
Fine, but you transgressed. You're not allowed to take, you can't go in the guy's house and take the pledge, right? How do we fix it up? Return the pledge,
yeah.
Right? Now, what if you burnt it? Well, you can't return it. You're going to get lashed.
Even if you sold it? Again, you have to pay.
Sold it, I don't know, because, you know, you could theoretically get it back. You just buy it back and give it back. Okay, whatever. Okay. We're assuming case where it's irredeemable, whatever. So now the Gemara elaborates on the question. Now, umishkacha, so now it's possible to get lashed no matter which rabbi you hold like. If you hold like Bekima Velo Kiblu, if you hold like Reish Lakish that says as soon as you transgress, the Bezin says immediately, you go fix it up right away, you don't fix it up right away, you get lashed. That for sure work, that does. But also, and here's the one that's important, Ubitlo Velo Bitlo. It's possible to transgress it if by nullifying it, and you see in the brackets, let's say he burnt the stolen item, or the improperly taken pledge without first returning it. Why then does Rabbi Yochanan say, and remember, Yochanan holds bitlo velo bitlo. If you nullify it, you do transgress. So even according to him, there's not two cases, there's four cases. Stealing and taking a mashkin. Okay, that's all I've ever explained. That's enough to explain. All right, so instead of two, it should be four. So now we have Sammy's answer. Awesome, over there in those two cases, no, you can never nullify it, because kivan dechay v'tashlumen, when a robber or a creditor takes the item he is obligated to make a payment to the owner to replace it. It does not have to be that object. That can always be in theft in general. When the Torah says return it, it doesn't mean only the lost object. The money is as well for that. And therefore, what happens is, ein aloka mishalim, he doesn't incur lashes and pay, right? Because the positive commandment to restore still applies in the form of restoring the value of the item to the owner. Thus, even by destroying the item, he cannot nullify the remedy.
It's more expensive under the other one because you've got to now pay interest if you wait.
Interest? What interest? Why is there interest?
So you throw a chicken, lays eggs every day, you spend 5-6 days, no eggs to the owner. Right? I'm just saying that.
That's a grumma. You don't have to worry about that. Okay, so anyway, that was question number one, and we disposed of it. So you won't get lashed because you can't nullify it because you can always pay the money. When's he going to pay the money? I'll get around to it. Even if he never pays it, and then he dies. Then he never ended up paying. Whatever. But remember, you got to actively nullify it. So even by burning, he doesn't actively nullify it because he just has to pay money. So it's just reversed. So Gemara is going to try another one. Okay, well, how about this scenario? I don't even know why the Gemara asks these questions because you guys can figure out the answers. If we can figure out the answers, I don't know why Gemara would ask the questions. Anyway, Maskiv Lo Rav Zera. Rav Zera says, okay. Ha'ika, there's still another situation. Mashkono shel ger. What if you took the pledge of a convert? Okay, and now you destroyed it. Wait a minute, we're not finished. Umei sager. And after you destroyed it, the convert died. Let's just explain before you ask questions. Now, if he died, and we're assuming convert is possible to have no heirs. He has no parents. and it not necessarily has kids. We're thinking a case where a convert has, so usually the Gemara says everybody's got an heir. Everybody's got an heir. Someone got a father, brother, somebody. But a convert is the classic example where should he not get married and have kids, he is the most obvious situation, someone without an heir. And that's why we're picking this case. Obviously, if he had kids, it wouldn't be the issue. But let's say you could have a case where you took a pledge from the convert. You weren't supposed to do it. You're supposed to give it back. And then you went and destroyed it. And then the convert died. So there's no heirs for you to even give it back to. Wouldn't that be a case of you actively destroying it? So you could figure out the answer. You didn't actively do it. And that's going to be the Gemara's answer.
Is this just sort of a repetition of like the rules?
No, it's just, you know, explaining things out. Hasam gavra bar tashlumahu. No, over there, the case of the convert who died, the person doesn't get lashes because in fact that he is in fact liable for the payment, he still has to pay. He hasn't destroyed the requirement to pay. You can't destroy that. Vishibuta de ger hu depaka. But it's the claim of the convert that ceases when he dies. Right? The obligation to return the pledge by paying its value continued until the time of the convert's death. That this obligation ended with his death was not a product of the creditor's active nullification. Thus, he cannot be said to have actively nullified the positive commandment. Remember, it has to be active. And since, well, once you destroyed it, okay, you have an obligation to pay. It's still there. Nothing happened more. Convert died. I didn't actively do anything. So he's out of the woods on that. Okay, so we answer that question. Moore now tries another example where you could possibly nullify it. For ha'ika peya, the mitzvah of peya, leaving a corner of the field. You have to leave it for the convert. So now what happens? We're going to see in a minute. So if you would cut it all down, that would be a transgression. The Torah says that, you know, you're not allowed to cut the corner of the field. So if you cut it, you'd be transgressing a negative commandment. Well, let's see how you can fix it up. Let's see what's going on here. Vayika peya. Drachmana Omar. Torah says, lo sechale pa'as, etc. You shall not cut the edge of your field. Clear. So you're not allowed to cut it out without leaving a corner for the poor people. Now, what if the farmer transgressed? He reaped the entire crop. The Torah does have an assay to fix it up. It says, so now that you've cut it, fine. La'ani v'lager tazov osam. Leave that corner that you cut for the poor man. Right? In other words, set, now when you harvest, let's just say an example. Let's say the corner represents 1/10 of the entire crop of the field. So let's say the guy just went and just did the whole field, didn't even care, just whoom, knocked the whole thing off. And he did 100 bushels. Not 100 bushels, 100 pounds of wheat. Okay? So now the Torah says take 10 pounds of wheat, that which was the corner, and separate it and give it to Anim. So that's the remedy. What? No. So now, is it possible to nullify this one?
That way, because it's money.
Well, let's see. Now, remember, we're going to say, according to both rabbis, remember, the ones that says the Ben says you have to do it right away to fix it up, and Rabbi Yochanan says you have lots of time. So the Mashkachel says, possibly get lashed, whether it's Bekimo Velo Kimo, the opinion that says you must fulfill it right away. So if he didn't, they're going to say, listen, right now, fix it up. You don't, you get lashed. That's fine. But we're worried about Rabbi Yochanan, who's the other opinion. But bitlo, but let's see, you also can nullify it, even if the who says if you actively nullify it, because what if after he harvested the wheat, instead of giving it to the anim, he went and ground up the kernels. He ground it up. Right? And it's not... Right? For we learned in a brisa, okay, now some say it's not a brisa, it's a brisa, not a mishnah, whatever. Anyway, that now we learned mitzvah's peya, the mitzvah of peya is lahafrish minakoma. It's to separate it from the standing crop. Okay? Now, lo hifrish minakoma. What if you didn't separate from the standing crop? You violated and you reaped it. That's the problem. You reaped it. Mafrish minahomrin. Okay, you separated from the sheaves. So let's say you went and piled up the wheat into sheaves. Well, you give them to sheaves. What if lo hifrish minahomrin? What if you didn't separate when it was sheaves? Mafrish minakri. Now you've got it into a winnowed pile of kernels. So you've got a pile. So then separate it from the pile of kernels. As long as it hasn't been smoothed. What does that mean? There's a little bit of the process here. The sheaf produce is moved to the threshing floor, where it is threshed and winnowed to separate the kernels from the straw and ears. The kernels are then concentrated into a pile, whose sides are then smoothed. This smoothing of the pile, called meruach, represents the completion of the processing of the raw produce, and it activates the tithing obligation. Now we get to a separate issue. There's the idea of leaving a corner for the poor man. That's one issue. Then there's a whole other mitzvah of giving trumas to maestros. When can you give the Kohen Levi? Well, you're not giving the Kohen Levi just when you harvested the wheat. No. You've got to produce it to a point of this point called Meruach. When you've completed the process of the raw produce, and now that it's a nice pile of kernels that's been smoothed out into one pile, that's called process. At that point, there's an obligation to give to the Kohen and the Levi. So now, we were telling you ways to fix up your problem with Peah. You didn't leave a corner right away. Okay, so give him some of the sheaves. You didn't give him the sheaves. So give him some of that. But now when you're up to this point, you can fix up Peah until this state. Because now there's a new thing kicks in. Once the tithing obligation has been activated, a person may no longer eat this produce without first separating the appropriate tithes from what he wishes to eat. Prior to the meruach, that smoothing, however, one is permitted to eat a casual snack from the produce without tithing it, but not a regular meal. Fine. So now what do we have over here? So now we're not finished yet. We didn't finish with the question yet. So merucho, but once it's been smoothed and you've activated the obligation for the regular trumas and meisers, you can no longer separate peah at that state. So what do you do? Ma'aser v'no sein lo. He must tithe the produce first, and then give payah to the poor person. Okay? That's the last, so according to this Tana, this is the last point in which the farmer can remedy his omission. But there's no provision for separating payah beyond this point once the produce has been ground into flour. In other words, they're saying, if you didn't give payah at the right time, we've given you three or four next stages where you can still give the payah. Even if it's been smooth and you first have to give meiser, truma meiser, kohen levi, you can still fix up the payah because still whatever is left, you give him the kernels, whatever the payah was worth. Okay? Now, at that point, though, he can't fix it up anymore. Right now, this is what the Brisa is quoted and said, that's it. This Brisa says, that's it. That's the last thing you do to fix up. So it could come out, according to this, once you've let it get to this point of Meruach, until you've ground it. Now, the next step would be grinding it into flour, the Brisa said, but it's obvious, I can only fix up until the point of grinding. But once I grind the flour, even according to Yochanan, I have actively nullified the possibility of fixing up the aser. Should that be a case of getting lashed? Justice Gemara says, guess what? There is another Tana out there who disagrees and says there is one more step. But not according to the first opinion. First opinion says that's it. You can't fix it up anymore. But there is an opinion, Kidder Rabbi Shmuel. Like Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Hui says, Af mafrish mina isa. You could still separate it from the dough.
Wow.
He goes even further. In other words, you could. So he rules the pas commandment, even the grain has already been made into flour or dough. Wow. Accordingly, even by grinding the grain into flour, the farmer has not nullified the pas commandment to separate peah. Wait a minute. But wait a minute. Go ask me a question now.
Where did the first opinion come from?
flower. Forget about the first of it. It was an opinion. Don't have to ask where it was. But still, so we're saying, well, you can't nullify it yet. But what?
We've made challahs.
He makes challahs.
Just keep him eat challahs.
So give him the challahs.
10%
of the challahs. So
always, always. Oh! Ul Rabbi Shmuel, Nami Mishkas, Rabbi Shmuel also, Doch Elisiv eats the bread. So eventually, according even to him, you can nullify it if you eat it all up.
What about money?
No, that it's not a money issue. This is not like stealing. Oh, okay. Stealing, you have to. It's what's the word? There's a better word for that.
Compensation.
It's compensation. When you steal, you owe compensation. There's no compensation to the poor. No, it's no compensation. They're only entitled to this or the derivatives of this, right? They don't get compensation. So therefore, but now we have concluded this is a third case. This is a third case. Sooner or later, you can't destroy the mitzvah, even at the latest stage of, according to the first rabbi, once you've ground it up, you've already nullified it. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, it gives you more time. If you eat it up, you've certainly nullified it. The Rebbe Gemara comes to the conclusion, and the question is strong now. Elazos va'ot. So now the Gemara says, you're right, there are three. Rabbi Yochanan said, this case of sending away the mother bird plus one is the two cases where you can nullify it and get lashed. And we said, what was that other one? The one who rapes the woman, and then he makes the vow that she cannot have had any benefit from him. So that was number two. We were happy with that. Now we have number three. So how could you say that Rabbi Yochanan said this and one more? It's this and two more. But he didn't say that. He said one more. So now we got a problem. So what could be the only way out? Try to figure out what could be the only way out. You have to cancel one of the original ones. Even though we were happy with the original ones, we got to cancel one of those. This one for sure we know you can nullify it by eating it. Right? So that's a lock. And we said, Shiluach HaKain, same with the mother bird. That was pretty obvious. You shech the mother bird. You could nullify that. But if you remember, by the rape guy, we were having a lot of problems because exactly how could you nullify it? Well, he makes a vow, yeah, but he can undo the vow. Well, he does the vow in public, yeah. But even there's an opinion that says in public you don't allow. Says no, you do it with the understanding, al das, the understanding of everybody. So now the Gemara is going to say, no, that will not work. Elazos vod acheres, aha. You have to say that this case. Killing the mother bird, and the other one is this one of knocking out the payah. Yeah, you got to say that's the other one. So now what we have to do is, but what about the rapist? We thought that was the other one. No, we're going to show it's not the other one. Aval ones lo, but the case of the rapist who can prohibit the one he divorced by making a vow on a public consensus. We thought that was the case. We're going to say, lo, that's not going to be the case. Why? Because even though we say when you make the vow with a public consensus, it works, but not in all cases. Deheicha amrinan al das rabbi mein lafar. When do we say that when you make a vow with a public consensus, it can't be annulled? Only lidvar harishus, when it's an optional thing. Okay, when it's not a mitzvah, he just makes a vow. Make a vow, I'm going to, with the public consensus, I'm making a vow to build an apartment complex for everybody. That's with the public consensus. Okay, so we said, public consensus, you can't undo it. Okay, that's a mundane thing. I didn't have to build an apartment complex. I wanted to make a vow to make a complex. So that cannot be undone. Avol lidvar mitzvah, but if it's a vow against a mitzvah, right, that can be annulled. If there's a mitzvah going on, and now when you make a vow to prevent yourself from doing a mitzvah, even with the public consensus, it can be annulled. And therefore, here, when he makes a vow not to benefit the divorcee, right, he's not allowed to do, that's a mitzvah. Even with the public consensus, it doesn't work. In that case, yesh lahafara, it's subject to annulment. Why? For it can be assumed that the public on whose consensus the vow was made unanimously consents that the vow be annulled if it stands away performing a mitzvah. Right? If it's public consensus, they don't want a guy not to do a mitzvah. If it's a mundane thing, okay, the public consensus, that's one thing. You wanted to do it, so with the public consensus, so you have to stick with it. But to prevent yourself from doing a mitzvah, well, if you're going to want to annul it, they certainly would allow that. And now they give you a case. Here's a case where a guy made a vow with public consensus that they annulled it. There was a school teacher, Dava Pasha Bianuki. He was mistreating the children. He was hitting them more than necessary. In the Gemara's times, you're allowed to hit a student to get him to learn better. Okay, not now. Okay, but in the Gemara's times, you could do it. But he was going a little bit too much. You know, he was breaking their bones, whatever. So there was a guy who did that. So now what happens? Adre Ravacha. Ravacha made a public vow on a public consensus not to teach children anymore. He made that teacher. Ravacha required the teacher to vow he would derive no benefit from the townspeople should he teach children again. In other words, they made him make a vow on the public consensus that he's not allowed to benefit from the city, which effectively means he has to move out, right? If he would teach them again. He has to give up his teaching job. He says, this is what you got to do. We're imposing on you that you have to make a vow that if I teach the children again, I can't benefit from the city, which means he's got to leave town. This was a vow on public consensus. Now, could that one be annulled?
He's supposed to teach
again. Or not? And what happened is, Va'adrahina Ravina, and Ravina annulled the vow. You know why he had to do that? The loishtakach the daikah. There wasn't a teacher as good as he was. In other words, once they annulled it, they made the vow, can't teach anymore. It's okay. Then they were looking for another teacher. Not such a good teacher. Well, I guess we got to annul our vow. Now this was a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to teach Torah. So therefore, thus we see that Ravina annulled the vow that was made on public consensus to allow for the mitzvah, the best possible Torah instruction of the children. Similarly, the Ones, the guy who raped a woman, who's vowed on public consensus not to remarry his victim, has not succeeded in nullifying the positive commandment to remarry her, since he can still have that vow annulled. So therefore, in conclusion, when Rabbi Yochanan said, we only have two cases where there's a positive mitzvah that can be fixed up by a lav, there's only two cases where you'll ever get lashed by nullifying it directly. It's by taking the mother bird, and instead of sending her away to fix it up, you went and killed the mother bird. And the second case is if you cut down all the peah, and you eventually ate the peah, whatever, you have nullified that, and you get lashed. And those are the only two cases in which you could possibly get lashed in those cases.
You talk about the coin who divorces, the rapist coin who divorces him. What? He has to get lashed. He can't remarry her.
But he didn't...
He divorced her. He actively...
Okay, here.
Women discuss it.
I hear. Okay, we'll have to look. We'll have to go back to that. More assume that that's not a problem. We'll have to figure why is that not a problem. Why is that not a problem? Okay, we'll have to think about it. Gomorrah, in the beginning, didn't think that'd be a problem. We'd have to see. Okay, we'll have to look that up. Okay, anyway, I'll have to further look that up. Okay, we finished this sugya. Good place to stop. We go to the next sugya that goes on the next Mishnah, Mirza Shem, on Wednesday. Right? Next Wednesday. Okay, shkoyach, everybody.